How am I going to make this work here? Media.
Yeezy season approaching. Fuck whatever y'all been hearing. Fuck whatever y'all been wearing. A monster. Come alive again. Soon as I pull up and park the Benz, we get this bitch.
I was scared from all of the scary user icons. I almost crashed the car. Some of them are showing and some of them are not. Ah, there's a ghost. All right. I can't look at that anymore. I almost ran a lady over just there. How much do I not give a fuck? Let me show you right now, but you give it up. How much do I not give a fuck? Let me show you right now, but you give it up. I did not expect to stay as late as it did, but I got that fucking review done, so...
Baby girl try and get a nut.
Worth it.
And a girl try and give it up. Chop them both down. Don't judge them, Joe Brown. One last announcement. No sports ball, let's keep it bouncing. Everybody gonna live at the top of the mountain. Took it to the blues to try to sip the fountain. That's when David Bruckman kicked the air, but I gotta back it up, put my dick in the mouth. On sight. On sight.
Go home and watch NXT TakeOver? I don't know, that sounds like wrestling. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't watch wrestling.
Right now, I need you right now. Right now, I need you right now.
I'm the J-U-M-P-O-R. I'm the J-U-M-P-O-R.
south. All the girls want his majesty. Let me strike a pose, dick. I'm too pretty with a flow so lovely. Bitches don't know what to do, so they fuck me. Andre, you're so disgusting.
Yeah, if you want to talk about classic wrestling and classic wrestlers, let's talk about Jay Leno. Let's talk about sold out. Let's talk about riding those garbage trucks to the venue. This is fucked up. This cab driver is driving in the bike lane, and I need to get... Oh, man. What a fucking... Idiots. Idiots!
fly.
Whatever it take, I hope you find it, Mike. The look on her face, all the shame and the hate, and that she wear a crown. My late grandma blood to tell me, lay my burden. That holding was holding you down. Can't pick ground. Holding was holding, pick up no ground. Can't pick up no ground.
Bring him in and I'll look after him. $15 for each idiot. $15.
Down with the shame. Carry the flag in some other man's name. Loaded my weapon and step with aggression right into the fray. Into me. The murk told me to put it out.
Yeezy season approaching. Fuck whatever y'all been hearing. Fuck whatever y'all been wearing. A monster come alive again. Soon as I pull up and park the Benz, we get this bitch.
I was scared from all of the scary user icons.
Indian here, no moccasins. There's too many hoes in this house.
I almost crashed the car.
Black Tim fall on your couch again. Black dick fall on your spouse.
Some of them are showing and some of them are not. There's a ghost. Alright. I can't look at that anymore. I almost ran a lady over just there.
How much do I not give a fuck? Let me show you right now, but you give it up. How much do I not give a fuck? Let me show you right now, but you give it up.
I did not expect to stay as late as it did, but I got that fucking review done, so...
Baby girl try and get a nut.
Worth it.
And a girl try and give it up. Chop them both down. Don't judge them, Joe Brown. One last announcement. No sports ball, let's keep it bouncing. Everybody gonna live at the top of the mountain. Took it to the blues and try to sip the fountain. That's when David Bruckman kicked the air. But I gotta back it up, put my dick in the mouth.
Go home and watch NXT TakeOver? I don't know. That sounds like wrestling. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't watch wrestling.
Right now. I need you right now.
Got three drugs, man, found it on the rug. I always look cute. garbage. Shut up, you goofy in your wallet. Be quiet, I'm sorry. Your father's a starter. I wanted your life for your daughter.
Yeah, if you want to talk about classic wrestling and classic wrestlers, let's talk about Jay Leno. Let's talk about Sold Out. Let's talk about riding those garbage trucks to the venue. This is fucked up. This cab driver is driving in the bike lane, and I need to get... Oh, man. What a fucking... Idiots. Idiots! Thank you.
thing. Won't be the same kind of man that puts cocaine in this lady. Heard she was pregnant, I'm guilty, I read it, cause I hear that this shit could hurt baby's brain. Heard he was normal to 3 in, and then he stopped talking, since then ain't nothing been the same. Seen her some weeks later out of Decatur, told her that I'm sorry for causing the pain. Causing me pain, causing me pain. She asked again and she grabbed my right hand. Asked him I'm crazy, said look here baby, I release you from all of your sins and your shame. Cause I've been redeemed, I found the Christ. Whatever it take, I hope you find it, Mike. The look on her face, all the shame and the hate, and that she wear a crown. My late grandma blood to tell me, lay my burden down. Holding what's holding you down. Can't be brown. Holding what's holding, pick up no crown. Can't pick up no crown.
Great man, and I'll look after them. $15 for each anything. $15.
Down with the shame. Carry the flag in some other man's name. Loaded my weapon and stepped with aggression right into the fray. Into me. The murk told me to put it out with
Santana Champagne. From him to you. From the heart of Napa Valley and the guitar king. Come to sparkly wine to make a blind man sing. Yo, it's the champagne, yeah. From the band with the bandana. I can't stand a flute with anything but Santana. What's the first name of Jim? It's Carlos. And to that man, I'm proposing toast. In the 60s, he had lots of freebie sex. But now he's getting down with the DBX.
Excuse me, fellas. Might I understand that Carlos Santana has made a champagne?
That's right, motherfucker.
Here, try it.
All right.
Oh, shit! I feel alive for the first time. Each sip hits my lips like a landmine. Without Carlos in my life, I was living a lie. He makes his guitar weak, but his champagne cry.
He's a Southwest pal wearing bolo jam. Coming straight out of you.
From the band with the bandana. I can't stand a flute with anything but Santana.
What's the first name of Jim? Carlos, and to that man, I'm proposing toast. In the 60s, he had lots of freebie sex, but now he's getting down with the DBX.
Excuse me, fellas. Might I understand that Carlos Santana has made a champagne?
That's right, motherfucker.
Here, try it.
All right.
Oh, shit! I feel alive for the first time. Each sip hits my lips like a landmine. Without Carlos in my life, I was living a lie. He makes his guitar weak, but his champagne cry.
He's a Southwest pal wearing bolo jam. Coming straight out.
Get laid all the time by 70s chicks. One hell of Grammys. Back to throw me their panties. I'm probably your daddy. I probably nutted in your mammy. I'm a bay boy. City lights been around the corner. Try to play me down on my vitals. Gonna run up on you. A legend, a boss. That's what I am. That's about the good kind of killing the ground to no better, but young enough to not care. Bitch with my left coast up top of that shit. My sparkling line of pop a star on us.
Oh, man.
Back and watch me get
shot. A rookie drank a bottle and learned to speak. I drank a bottle and became a freak. I'm proud.
A horse struck a bottle and fucked a cat.
10 minutes for Moth Yards. You guys running public quests? Is there actually a do that again? We're all worthless now. The stuff you get out of them didn't seem like moats or whatever, right?
My dad don't work, but I still need one to carry. And I bring the bereavement when you need the seedment. Police picked me up to talk, but I wasn't working. I remember the song that was...
Oh, that figures.
So he was pushing up that milk thistle. Get it? These stupid niggas, they ain't playing for kids. These niggas playing for cheese. They just all playing the streets.
More war sats, huh? Great.
When your breath goes numb, you looking up to the sheets. I seen it coming and I'm watching the drama growing. Stressing enough to break the needle in prayer with my song. I'm slow flowing. Move back and forth like a boa. Still moving hoes and twos to the boat.
Tony Hawk 2, I would probably... I mean, the Dreamcast version looks better, but I think the PlayStation controller is a better controller for playing Tony Hawk. It doesn't matter as much with 2, because you're not trying to time reverts and stuff. I think you're probably fine to go either way on that one. The graphical improvement on the Dreamcast version is okay, but it's not vital. PlayStation is kind of the definitive kind of version, the baseline, you know?
I mean, even the people dying in the world, and see, I just want them to have an easy life.
all the time does. Don't be like your daddy that it never was. And I never let him ever hit a strip club. I learned the hard way, there ain't the place to get love. And I never let his mom move to L.A. Knowing she couldn't take the pressure, now we all pray.
I was just thinking about playing 2 again. Because I usually, when I go back and play the old ones, I play 1 or I play 3. It's actually been a pretty long time since I played 2. I remember when Activision brought Tony Hawk 3 to the office for the first time, and it was my first time seeing the game. It was insane. That game does the thing where if you eject the disc, you can actually keep playing it. You know, as long as you don't end the, you know, at the end of a run, you could hit retry and it would still, it was all in memory. It wouldn't play music, but you could still play the game. And just, you know, when the appointment was over, Activision pulled the disc out of our debug PS2 and they took off, but they didn't turn it off. And the Tokyo level was still loaded up. And we left that fucking PS2 on for like 3 days. And played the shit out of it. Just went back and played more of it. Like, oh, you know. Alright, well, don't turn it off so we can go back and play it later. remember when they sent out review copies of Tony Hawk 3, they sent out USB to Ethernet dongles. That they had, you know, like there was a limited number of hardware, you know, like little pieces of hardware that would work with the PS2 with Tony Hawk 3 in that format, you know, because it was before the network adapter was available. And so to test the online, you know, the online, like, you know, you had no idea what to even go buy. So they sent two of them with the review copy of the game.
Probably better than your mammy. I'm a bay boy. City lights been around the corner. Try to play me down on my bottles, gonna run up. I'm a legend, a boss. That's what I am. That's about the good time to be killing the corner. The no better boy, young enough to not care. Bit with my left coast, up top of that shit. My sparkling line of pop a star on us.
Oh, man.
Back and watch me. A rookie drank a bottle and learned to speak. I drank a bottle and became a freak. I'm proud. A horse struck a bottle and fucked a cat.
10 minutes for Moth Yards. You guys running public quests? Is there actually a do that again? We're all worthless now. The stuff you get out of them didn't seem like moats or whatever, right?
My dad don't work, but I still need one to carry. And I bring the bereavement when you need the seedment. Police picked me up to talk, but I wasn't working. I remember the song that was...
Oh, that figures.
So he was pushing up that milk thistle. Get it? These stupid niggas, they ain't playing for kids. These niggas playing for cheese. They just on man in the streets.
More war sats, huh? Great.
When your breath goes numb, you looking up to the sheets. I seen it coming and I'm watching the drummer growing. Stressing enough to break the needle and thread with my song. I'm slow flowing. Move back and forth like a boa. Still moving hoes and twos to the boat.
Tony Hawk 2, I would probably... I mean, the Dreamcast version looks better, but I think the PlayStation controller is a better controller for playing Tony Hawk. It doesn't matter as much with 2, because you're not trying to time reverts and stuff. I think you're probably fine to go either way on that one. The graphical improvement on the Dreamcast version is okay, but it's not vital. PlayStation is kind of the definitive kind of version, the baseline, you know? I was just thinking about playing 2 again, because I usually, when I go back and play the old ones, I play 1 or I play 3. It's actually been a pretty long time since I played 2.
Never repeat them.
I remember when Activision brought Tony Hawk 3 to the office for the first time, and it was my first time seeing the game. It was insane. That game does the thing where if you eject the disc, you can actually keep playing it. You know, as long as you don't end the, you know, at the end of a run, you could hit retry and it would still, it was all in memory. It wouldn't play music, but you could still play the game. And just, you know, when the appointment was over, Activision pulled the disc out of our debug PS2 and they took off, but they didn't turn it off. And the Tokyo level was still loaded up. And we left that fucking PS2 on for like 3 days. And played the shit out of it. Just went back and played more of it. Like, oh, you know. Alright, well, don't turn it off so we can go back and play it later. remember when they sent out review copies of Tony Hawk 3, they sent out USB to Ethernet dongles. That they had, you know, like there was a limited number of hardware, you know, like little pieces of hardware that would work with the PS2 with Tony Hawk 3 in that format, you know, because it was before the network adapter was available. And so to test the online, you know, the online, like, you know, you had no idea what to even go buy. So they sent two of them with the review copy of the game. Games on the internet were nothing new if you had a PC, but like the idea of like doing it on a console, or doing it with a console game, which, you know, the two things were a lot more different then than they are now. You know, you didn't see a lot of first-person shooters on consoles that were worth playing because they were ports of the PC games and they ran like shit, or they were just, you know, just junk. The control scheme hadn't been ironed out yet; it just hadn't happened yet. You know, Time Splitters was starting to get there. There was a certain novelty to, like, hooking all that fucking weird shit up, unofficial stuff, and then at the end of it, you're like, dude, we're playing Tony Hawk on the internet. This is fucked up. Like, what the fuck? This is insane. How is this even possible? Probably played, I don't know, hundreds of hours of Phantasy Star Online with a handful of friends. Some locals, and, you know, just some IRC road dogs. And then we all bought Game Sharks and just fucking started creating all the fucking high-end four-slot armor and spread needles and everything you can ever possibly need. Still kept playing it, though. I don't know. Like even with access to everything via cheating, it was still pretty much what we did. I had a broadband adapter, so I had to, you know, pull the network cable out of my PC, or out of the back of my cable modem, I guess, really, and plug in a longer one that could run from the computer room to my bedroom so I could play PSO. Days in a weird way, because everyone was figuring it out, you know, and you know, on the Sony end and the Sega end to a certain extent. Sega was better at hiding it in a lot of their games, but like, you know, you eventually just had these games on these consoles that, like, were coming from Japanese companies that really, I mean, you know, you joke about it now because it still is sort of true, but, you know, you think about, like, Japanese companies or just Japan and the internet, it just was not fucking happening then. So, you know, the Dreamcast came up with all its own fucking weird specific shit that, you know, you just didn't see in PC games of the era. You just didn't see, you know, and you know, Sega of America had considerable sway through the Dreamcast era, so they came up with, like, well, we'll have this thing and we'll call it Sega Net and we'll put nice logos on it and it'll all make sense. But, like, just depending on what game you were throwing into your Dreamcast, it just seemed like sometimes you were just getting crazy shit in terms of, like, player matching and just, like, all that sort of stuff. Like, the PS2 network adapter, like, happened to, you know, like, a lot of, so the thing came with a configuration disk that would save your configuration to the memory card. But, like, a lot of games didn't have that configuration stuff built in. Some did, some didn't. So you just never knew, what, you know, which ones were going to be able to launch the utility and which ones were like, fuck you, pull, find your network disk. And, you know, running around between, like, a ton of different PS2 debugs and a ton of different memory cards and stuff, like, you know, we were in the office at that point. Like, that was always a problem. And there was some stuff where, like, you know, games didn't necessarily directly support the broadband adapter. But if you had the broadband adapter configuration saved on your VMU, it would detect it and use it. So people were like, oh, well, we need a Japanese web browser disk. Because that's got the BBA config tool on it. And then it'll work with this and this. It's just, you forget, like, how optional and how fucking weird and, like, you know, how niche a lot of that stuff was. You know, because, you know, it wasn't that long after that that Xbox Live happened and, you know, stuff around it started to standardize. I remember being bummed out, like, when the Xbox was first announced and they were like, this is the first broadband-ready console, just, it's all built in, it's fucking built in, broadband motherfucking internet for the internet video games, and you're like, awesome, that's the best, I've got broadband internet, let's do this, and then they shipped it and, you know, Xbox Live didn't happen for a year or two, really. What was it? It was a long, kind of a long time. So it's like all this talk about the internet and broadband and all this other shit, and then just none of it was turned, like, you could plug a fucking Ethernet cable into the back of your Xbox all day long, but unless you were on a LAN with a bunch of other Xboxes, it didn't do shit. Like, they had to do a full dashboard update, you know, it was the equivalent of the NXE, I guess, at that point. Like, hey, now there's internet in here. And then meanwhile, like, even after that, you know, you had, like, the PSP come out and, like, all of its fucking weird, you just set it to infrastructure mode if you want, or ad hoc mode if you're doing, it's like, what are these fucking terms that, like, some insane person invented to throw into this thing and make you, like, wait, am I playing locally, local wireless, or internet wireless? Like, well, just fucking make it say internet. Infrastructure. remember one time I did go through the steps of tunneling my PSP over the internet to play ad hoc games over the internet. Like, for a... Which, you know, the two things were a lot more different then than they are now. You know, you didn't see a lot of first-person shooters on consoles that were worth playing because they were ports of the PC games and they ran like shit. Or they were just, you know, just junk. The control scheme hadn't been ironed out yet. It just hadn't happened yet, you know. Time splitters was starting to get there. There was a certain novelty to, like, hooking all that fucking weird shit up, unofficial stuff, and then at the end of it, you're like, dude, we're playing Tony Hawk on the internet. This is fucked up. Like, what the fuck? This is insane. How is this even possible? I probably played, I don't know, hundreds of hours of Phantasy Star Online. Online with a handful of friends. Some locals, and, you know, just some IRC road dogs. And then we all bought Game Sharks and just fucking started creating all the fucking high-end four-slot armor and spread needles and everything you can ever possibly need. Still kept playing it, though. I don't know. Like even with access to everything via cheating, it was still pretty much what we did. I had a broadband adapter, so... So I had to, you know, pull the network cable out of my PC, or out of the back of my cable modem, I guess, really, and plug in a longer one that could run from the computer room to my bedroom so I could play PSO. Heady days in a weird way, because everyone was figuring it out, you know, and, you know, on the Sony end, and the Sega end, to a certain extent, Sega was better at hiding it in a lot of their games, but, like, you know, you eventually just had these games on these consoles that, like, were coming from Japanese companies that really, I mean, you know, you joke about it now, because it still is sort of true, but, you know, you think about, like, Japanese companies or just Japan and the internet, it just was not fucking happening then. So, you know, the Dreamcast came up with all its own fucking weird specific shit that, you know, you just didn't see in PC games of the era. You just didn't see, you know, and you know, Sega of America had considerable sway through the Dreamcast era, so they came up with, like, well, we'll have this thing and we'll call it SegaNet and we'll put nice logos on it and it'll all make sense. But, like, just depending on what game you were throwing into your Dreamcast, it just seemed like sometimes you were just getting crazy shit in terms of, like, player matching and just, like, all that sort of stuff. Like, the PS2 network adapter, like, having to, you know, like, a lot of, so the thing came with a configuration disk that would save your configuration to the memory card. But, like, a lot of games didn't have that configuration stuff built in. Some did, some didn't. So you just never knew, what, you know, which ones were going to be able to launch the utility and which ones were like, fuck you, pull, find your network disk. And, you know, running around between, like, a ton of different PS2 debugs and a ton of different memory cards and stuff, like, you know, we were in the office at that point. Like, that was always a problem. And there was some stuff where, like, you know, games didn't necessarily directly support the broadband adapter. But if you had the broadband adapter configuration saved on your VMU, it would detect it and use it. So people were like, oh, well, we need a Japanese web browser disk. Because that's got the BBA config tool on it. And then it'll work with this and this. It's just... you forget, like, how optional and how fucking weird and, like, you know, how niche a lot of that stuff was. You know, because, you know, it wasn't that long after that that Xbox Live happened and, you know, stuff around it started to standardize. I remember being bummed out, like, when the Xbox was first announced and they were like, this is the first broadband-ready console, just, it's all built in, it's fucking built in, broadband motherfucking internet for the internet video games, and you're like, awesome, that's the best, I've got broadband internet, let's do this, and then they shipped it and, you know, Xbox Live didn't happen for a year or two, really. What was it? It was a long, kind of a long time. So it's like all this talk about the internet and broadband and all this other shit, and then just none of it was turned... Like, you could plug a fucking Ethernet cable into the back of your Xbox all day long, but unless you were on a LAN with a bunch of other Xboxes, it didn't do shit. Like, they had to do a full dashboard update. You know, it was the equivalent of the NXE, I guess, at that point. Like, hey, now there's internet in here. And then meanwhile, like, even after that, you know, you had, like, the PSP come out and, like, all of its fucking weird... Set it to infrastructure mode if you want... Or ad hoc mode if you're doing... It's like, what are these fucking terms that, like, some insane person invented to throw into this thing and make you, like, wait, am I playing locally? Local wireless or internet wireless? Like, well, just fucking make it say internet. Infrastructure. I remember one time I did go through the steps of tunneling my PSP over the internet to play ad hoc games over the internet. Like, for, that's awesome. And then realizing, like, okay, that's, now that it's working, it's way less interesting. It's cool that I can do this. That's really nuts. Anyway. And I can't remember if Twisted Metal had built-in actual online play. I think it was. Like, that, the first Twisted Metal for PSP, like, real early on. Maybe that was, like, the only game that had any kind of internet stuff going on. I'm sure there's still people that are tunneling original Xboxes to play a system like Halo over the internet. That has to be happening somewhere. I wonder if anyone ever plays Mech Assault. That actually got me thinking, like, that was, I kind of want to try to set that up and try to play Unreal Championship 2. But I want to do it for the site, and the network configuration at the office is such a shit show that, like, that adds, like, 9 more layers of bullshit to this that I just wonder if it would ever even work. It'd be nice if someone came up with an emulated, like, Xbox Live private server for the original Xbox. And that's part of why I think, you know, like, there are people out there trying to do it, and they've made some progress, but it's still not doable. But, like, emulation of the original Xbox is fucking still a disaster. Like, the Xbox 360 emulation efforts are showing way more promise than original Xbox right now, which is nuts. Though, I mean, architecturally speaking, maybe that's not that nuts, but, you know, it's, you know what I mean. I mean, if they really cracked apart and fully understood everything that the original Xbox was doing, that, I think that would lead to more of that sort of stuff. Like, more of those games would be easier to play. Like, that's the preservation stuff that's kind of a bummer, because, like, those features are kind of lost right now. I'm confident that, you know, given enough time, all that stuff can be reverse engineered and figured out and all that. It's just, there's such a lack of interest in Xbox emulation that it doesn't seem like there are that many people trying to tackle the problem. So without that kind of critical mass of minds coming together, slow going. Some people working on 3DS stuff, which is always one of those highly questionable things of emulating a platform that is still technically active. If I remember right, I saw some title screens from some PS3 games. You know, nothing in-game, but it seemed like there was some, maybe some homebrew running, but nothing much else. I don't know. asshole in this Mazda is tailgating this other person. Yeah, the Wii emulation stuff is insane. That was one of those things that was like... I mean, it was an embarrassment, I think, too. It said a lot about the architecture and the power of the Wii that the GameCube emulator people were able to go, oh, if we just duct tape this executable to itself, it suddenly runs Wii games. And obviously, it's a, you know, it's not to say that no work went into it, but it's just like crazy. At one point, I did hook a Wii remote up to my PC, but I didn't have a wireless sensor bar at that point, so getting that part of it going was a hassle. I remember when I did it, I turned on my Wii and then had to point it at my TV for the sensor bar, but it was, you know, paired to my PC, so... But all that stuff was really janky then. It was really, like, configuring the controller to work with Dolphin and all. That other stuff was like not fun and not really worth doing. I don't know if that's gotten any easier. I assume it has. I wonder if they support any online stuff. That's always one of those things where it gets really fucked up really fast because, like, the idea of connecting a fake console to a real internet service is, like, tantalizing and awesome. There's something real cool about that, but the potential for, you know, obviously, like, cheating and stuff like that in the games themselves, all that stuff seems crazy. I know there are PlayStation 2 emulators that are supposed to try to support a fake network adapter. I just don't know if any of it works. Or if it does, it's certainly not easy to get working. I remember reading up on that at one point. I mean, in some ways that would be ideal because, you know, by having memory access and all the other stuff, you could patch in a private matching server or something like that, you know, assuming that the vast majority of the servers for those old PS2 games are long dead. Like, you would need to emulate that end of things as well. And yeah, I guess like a lot of the copy protection and kind of system authentication stuff is a little harder to get around with some of that stuff. Like, obviously the NAND on a Wii has, you know, identifiable serial number type things. Just like all the PS2 discs had that, what do they call it? DNAS. That was their, like, anti-piracy authentication thing for... online PlayStation 2 games where each disc had its own serial number on it, which is like, I don't know how they burned those discs. The factory to have each one have a different serial number on it, but I think they copyrighted that process. I assume that, well, I hope they did, I don't know. But that's a process that I figured that they would use with the Xbox One when they were over the original Xbox One vision of, hey, it's always online. Like, you put those serial numbers on the discs, you just throw the disc in, the serial number is matched to your account, and the disc is now more or less an install disc. But, you know, it resulted in, you know, if a copy of that game got pirated, then it all had the same serial on it, and they would see multiple copies of that serial number hitting a server and just go, oh, well, that's okay. Well, don't allow more than one of those online at one time, and in fact, why don't we just ban it completely so that zero copies of that game can get online. I'm surprised in a way, and I guess, you know, whatever, everyone involved has no reason to want to do this, but I'm sort of surprised that, like, DVD or Blu-ray burners never got good enough to duplicate PlayStation 1 discs and other, like, copy-protected, or, like, early copy-protected discs, like, perfectly without, you know, they would just boot on a non-modded system. Like, that they'd be able to, that there's no, like, specific fucking CD burner or, like, firmware, like, custom firmware you can install on those things that just makes it work with that stuff. That it never went there, that it never, you know, that no focus was ever put on, like, actually duplicating those discs one-to-one. Like, hey, we want all the sub-channel data, we want all the everything, we want all the copy protection stuff, and yes, we're gonna then burn it to another disc, and it's just going to work. You know, like, anything before, like, the PS1 and the Saturn just burns, because CD burners were not widely enough available at that point for that to you know, would still be cheaper to buy the games for a Sega CD or something than it would be to burn them back then. I guess, like, these days, it you know, like, when you think about the PS4 and the Xbox One and the way they handle discs, like, the PS4 just sees a disc as another way to install a package, the same way as a download is, you know, it's just identical. It doesn't care where it comes from. It's copying it to the hard drive. So at some point, it's, like, not even about, you know, hey, we need to burn a quality copy of this game or whatever. It's at some point, it just becomes, we need to figure out a way to install this package to the hard drive and then authenticate it as real. I mean, I guess you would need, if you had a real disc, you know, considering that physical copies of games still need the disc in the drive, like, you have an attack point there or whatever, right? Of, like, okay, how do you convince the PS4 that the real thing is in the real thing? And I always thought that would go the route of, like, taking, like, the Blu-ray. Like, I even thought this with, like, you know, Xbox 360. I always thought it would eventually go the way of, like, ripping out the optical drive and replacing it with some kind of optical drive emulator that says, oh, yeah, this is real. Yeah, this disc is in here. With either, you know, hey, you need to call up a menu and tell it what fake disc is in the fake thing, or, you know, just some sort of full-on bypass that just returns, yes, absolutely, that's what's in there, with every single query or whatever. I know some people, like, I know there were some, like, I never really looked into, like, hacked Xbox 360 stuff. It just never, it just never held any appeal to me. Just it didn't seem like there was anything that interesting you could do beyond, like, fucking ruin Call of Duty matches. But I know there was some aspect of, like, hey, if you have this specific DVD drive in an Xbox 360, this is how you hack it, or this is how you mod this, or whatever it was, but I don't know if that's something that, like, you know, that bypasses all their Xbox Live checks. I know that was, like, I did some reading up on, like, what Xbox 360 piracy was looking like back when I was really, like, kind of deeply investigating, like, achievements, and when we had the achievement feature on the site, and I was kind of digging into that as deeply as I could, like, going and looking at the different things that use title IDs and how the disk IDs and all this other stuff, and eventually start reading up on some of the piracy stuff, and there are some people that are like, here are the specific angles you need, or you know, the layer break has to be here, or else you'll get banned from Xbox Live, or like, some of that stuff just seems so fucking crazy. I assume it got way easier at some point, because you never hear about all these JTAG boxes getting banned or anything anymore. Though maybe they just don't care as much these days either. I wonder with some of these cross-platform games if you could do some really nasty shit. If you think about it, like, your Destiny character moves from one console generation to the next. So I wonder if you could client-side do a bunch of fucked-up Destiny shit, level up a character real high on the 360, and then just go like, all right, well, never going to touch that one again, and now I'm, you know, playing my laundered character on an Xbox One or I guess a PS4. I mean, there's some PS3 shit out there, I assume. Swapping on the Saturn. Yeah, I don't know. I never really mess with that stuff on the Saturn either. I have a Japanese Saturn, a white Saturn with a region switch soldered into it. But that's as far as I went with any of that stuff. Or something. I forget what it was. No, I don't. I forget what the Saturn hardware was called for, or whatever the mod chip was, or whatever the cartridge, or whatever it was. With Saturn emulation being shitty. I mean, still way better than it used to be. Like, it's come a long way. But, you know, a properly modded Saturn would actually be kind of nice. SSF is alright. Was it, Yabause? I don't know how they actually pronounce it, but... that one's not bad. That's the one that has a portable core, so it's in LibRetro and it's in RetroArch. And that's not bad. But none of them run Fighters Mega Mix particularly well, so. Or rather, you know, the controller specificity you need for good Saturn games is such that the Xbox 360 controller you have hooked up to your PC all the time is never going to be good for some Saturn games. Should have bought one of those USB Saturn controllers when I had the chance. Whatever, I'm sure those are still out there if you really want one. And the way the Saturn discs, you know, with their multiple tracks and their Like, they're messy. Those images are messy. And emulating them is sometimes just as messy. I want to say I could never get music working in Fighters Megamix. Yeah, all this just reminds me that I should probably set up whatever that GGPO replacement, what was it called? It's like a new front end for the GGPO, like, PC service. It's all hooked up to, like, Final Burn Alpha and all that shit. This reminds me that I should probably try playing some online Wind Jammers one of these days. Fightcade, yes, that's it. I downloaded it at one point and then just never did anything with it. Fightcade was second. Well, there's a recent one that's like, hey, we're trying to make a front end for GGPO that isn't fucked. Or something. I want to say it was Fightcade, but maybe I'm wrong. All right, that's enough of that. I'm home. It's very exciting. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you. Hey. And I can't remember if Twisted Metal had built-in actual online play. I think it was like that, the first Twisted Metal for PSP, like real early on. Maybe that was like the only game that had any kind of internet stuff going on. I'm sure there's still people that are tunneling original Xboxes to play a system like Halo over the internet. That has to be happening somewhere. I wonder if anyone ever plays Mech Assault. That actually got me thinking, like, that was, I kind of want to try to set that up and try to play Unreal Championship 2. But I want to do it for the site, and the network configuration at the office is such a shit show that, like, that adds, like, 9 more layers of bullshit to this that I just wonder if it would ever even work. Be nice if someone came up with an emulated, like, Xbox Live private server for the original Xbox. And that's part of why I think, you know, like, there are people out there trying to do it, and they've made some progress, but it's still not doable. But, like, emulation of the original Xbox is fucking still a disaster. Like, the Xbox 360 emulation efforts are showing way more promise than original Xbox right now, which is nuts. Though, I mean, architecturally speaking, maybe that's not that nuts, but, you know, it's, you know what I mean? I mean, if they really cracked apart and fully understood everything that the original Xbox was doing, that I think that would lead to more of that sort of stuff. Like, more of those games would be easier to play. Like, that's the preservation stuff that's kind of a bummer, because, like, those features are kind of lost right now. And I'm confident that, you know, given enough time, all that stuff can be reverse engineered and figured out and all that. It's just, there's just such a lack of interest in Xbox emulation that it doesn't seem like there are that many people trying to tackle the problem. So without that kind of critical mass of minds coming together, it's slow going. There's some people working on 3DS stuff, which is always one of those highly questionable things of emulating a platform that is still technically active. If I remember right, I saw some title screens from some PS3 games. You know, nothing in-game, but it seemed like there was some, maybe some homebrew running, but nothing much else. I don't know. Asshole in this Mazda is tailgating this other person. Yeah, the Wii emulation stuff is insane. That was one of those things that was like, I mean, it was an embarrassment, I think, too. It said a lot about the architecture and the power of the Wii that the GameCube emulator people were able to go, oh, if we just duct tape this executable to itself, it suddenly runs Wii games. And obviously, it's a, you know, it's not to say that no work went into it. It's just, like, crazy. At one point, I did hook a Wii remote up to my PC, but I didn't have a wireless sensor bar at that point, so getting that part of it going was a hassle. I remember when I did it, I turned on my Wii, and then had to point it at my TV for the sensor bar, but it was, you know, paired to my PC, so, but all that stuff was really janky then. It was really, like, configuring the controller to work with Dolphin and all that other stuff was, like, not fun, and not really worth doing. I don't know if that's gotten any easier. I assume it has. I wonder if they support any online stuff. That's always one of those things where it gets really fucked up really fast because, like, the idea of connecting a fake console to a real internet service is, like, tantalizing and awesome. There's something real cool about that, but the potential for, you know, obviously, like, cheating and stuff like that in the games themselves, all that stuff seems crazy. I know there are PlayStation 2 emulators that are supposed to try to support a fake network adapter. I just don't know if any of it works. Or if it does, it's certainly not easy to get working. I remember reading up on that at one point. In some ways, that would be ideal because, you know, by having memory access and all that other stuff, you could patch in a private matching server or something like that, you know, assuming that the vast majority of the servers for those old PS2 games are long dead. Like, you would need to emulate that end of things as well. And yeah, I guess like a lot of the copy protection and kind of system authentication stuff is a little harder to get around with some of that stuff. Like obviously the NAND on a Wii has, you know, identifiable serial number type things. Just like that was all the PS2 discs had that, what do they call it? DNAS. That was their like anti-piracy authentication thing for online PlayStation 2 games, where each disc had its own serial number on it, which is like, I don't know how they burned those discs at the factory to have each one have a different serial number on it, but I think they copyrighted that process. I assume that, well, I hope they did, I don't know. But that's a process that I figured that they would use with the Xbox One when they were over the original Xbox One vision of, hey, it's always online. Like, you put those serial numbers on the discs, you just throw the disc in, the serial number is matched to your account, and the disc is now more or less an install disc. But, you know, it resulted in, you know, if a copy of that game got pirated, then it all had the same serial on it, and they would see multiple copies of that serial number hitting a server and just go, oh, well, that's okay. Don't allow more than one of those online at one time, and in fact, why don't we just ban it completely so that zero copies of that game can get online. Thank you. surprised in a way, and I guess, you know, whatever, everyone involved has no reason to want to do this, but I'm sort of surprised that, like, DVD or Blu-ray burners never got good enough to duplicate PlayStation 1 discs and other, like, copy-protected, or, like, early copy-protected discs, like, perfectly without, you know, they would just boot on a non-modded system. Like, that they'd be able to, that there, or that there's no, like, specific fucking CD burner or, like, firmware, like, custom firmware you can install on those things that just makes it work with that stuff. That it never went there, that it never, you know, that no focus was ever put on, like, actually duplicating those discs one-to-one. Like, hey, we want all the subchannel data, we want all the everything, we want all the copy protection stuff, and yes, we're going to then burn it to another disc, and it's just going to work. You know, like, anything before, like, the PS1 and the Saturn just burns. Because CD burners were not widely enough available at that point for that to, you know, would still be cheaper to buy the games for a Sega CD or something than it would be to burn them back then. Like, these days, it, you know, like, when you think about the PS4 and the Xbox One and the way they handle discs, like, the PS4 just sees a disc as another way to install a package, the same way as a download is, you know, it's just identical. It doesn't care where it comes from. It's copying it to the hard drive. So at some point, it's, like, not even about, you know, hey, we need to burn a quality copy of this game or whatever. It's at some point, it just becomes, we need to figure out a way to install this package to the hard drive and then authenticate it as real. I mean, I guess you would, if you had a real disk you know, considering that physical copies of games still need the disc in the drive, like, you have an attack point there or whatever, right, of, like, okay, how do you convince the PS4 that the real thing is in the real thing? And I always thought that would go the route of, like, taking, like, the Blu-ray, like, I even thought this was, like, you know, Xbox 360, I always thought it would eventually go the way of, like, ripping out the optical drive and replacing it with some kind of optical drive emulator that says, oh yeah, this is real. Yeah, this disc is in here. With either, you know, hey, you need to call up a menu and tell it what fake disc is in the fake thing, or, you know, just some sort of full-on bypass that just returns, yes, absolutely, this is what, yes, this is what, that's what's in there, with every single query or whatever. I know some people, like, I know there were some, like, I never really looked into, like, hacked Xbox 360 stuff. It just never, it just never held any appeal to me. Just it didn't seem like there was anything that interesting you could do, beyond, like, fucking ruin Call of Duty matches. But I know there was some aspect of, like, hey, if you have this specific DVD drive in an Xbox 360, this is how you hack it, or this is how you mod this, or whatever it was, but... But I don't know if that's something that, like, you know, that bypasses all their Xbox Live checks. I know that was, like, I did some reading up on, like, what Xbox 360 piracy was looking like, back when I was really, like, kind of deeply investigating, like, achievements, and when we had the achievement feature on the site, and I was kind of digging into that as deeply as I could, like, going and looking at the different things that used title IDs, and how the disc IDs, and all this other stuff, and eventually started reading up on some of the piracy stuff, and there were some people that were like, here are the specific angles you need, or, you know, the layer break has to be here, or else you'll get banned from Xbox Live, or, like, some of that stuff just seems so fucking crazy. Like, I assume it got way easier at some point, because you never hear about all these JTAG boxes getting banned or anything anymore. Though maybe they just don't care as much these days either. I wonder with some of these cross-platform games if you could do some really nasty shit. If you think about it, like, your Destiny character moves from one console generation to the next. So, I wonder if you could client-side do a bunch of fucked-up Destiny shit, level up a character real high on the 360, and then just go, like, alright, well, never gonna touch that one again, and now I'm, you know, playing my laundered character on an Xbox One, or I guess a PS4, I mean, there's some PS3 shit out there, I assume. Swapping on the Saturn. Yeah, I don't know. I never really mess with that stuff on the Saturn either. I have a Japanese Saturn, a white Saturn with a region switch soldered into it. But that's as far as I went with any of that stuff. Or something, I forget what it was. I forget what the Saturn hardware was called for, or whatever the mod chip was, or whatever the cartridge, or whatever it was. with Saturn emulation being shitty. I mean, still way better than it used to be. Like, it's come a long way. But, you know, a properly modded Saturn would actually be kind of nice. SSF is alright. Was it, Yabause? I don't know how they actually pronounce it, but... that one's not bad. That's the one that has a portable core, so it's in LibRetro and it's in RetroArch. And that's not bad. But none of them run Fighters Megamix particularly well, so... Or rather, you know, the controller specificity you need for good Saturn games is such that the Xbox 360 controller you have hooked up to your PC all the time is never going to be good for some Saturn games. Should have bought one of those USB Saturn controllers when I had the chance. Whatever, I'm sure those are still out there if you really want one. And then the way the Saturn discs, you know, with their multiple tracks and their, like, they're messy. Those images are messy. And emulating them is sometimes just as messy. I want to say I could never get music working in Fighters Megamix. Yeah, all this just reminds me that I should probably set up whatever that, GGPO replacement, what was it called? It's like a new front end for the GGPO, like, PC service. It's all hooked up to, like, Final Burn Alpha and all that shit. Just reminds me that I should probably try playing some online Windjammers one of these days. Fightcade, yes, that's it. I downloaded it at one point and then just never did anything with it. Fightcade was second. Well, there's a recent one that's like, hey, we're trying to make a front end for GGPO that isn't fucked. Or something. I want to say it was Fight Cade, but maybe I'm wrong. All right, that's enough of that. I'm home. It's very exciting. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you.